No human has ever yawned and stretched and said afterwards, that felt terrible. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm 5'3". I'm vertically challenged, okay? When you're 30 years old now, to understand what I'm doing today, how's it going to affect me when I'm 60, 65 years of age? Your joints are wonderful things. They're meant to articulate. And statistically speaking, the number of combinations should make a Chinese restaurant jealous. In the strength and conditioning community, everybody sells packages. I don't understand why. From a sales standpoint, it's completely incorrect. And when they get done, they're like, what was that? You're like, that's core work.
If you don't know what stick mobility is, then definitely stick around. Pun 100% intended there.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it popping.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, welcome back to yet another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today, I'm actually joining you all the way from Dubai. I literally just got off a camel probably about an hour and a half ago, and we're back at the hotel. I got with me my guy, and your soon-to-be guy, Dennis Dunphy. He is one of three creators, founders, originators of stick mobility. If you don't know what stick mobility is, then definitely stick around. Pun 100% intended there. Because it's a cool paradigm that's out right now, and I think that everyone honestly needs to be exposed to it. I've seen a lot of it throughout the personal training realm, and I want the clinicians, the clinical side, to open their eyes. So without further ado, welcome to the show, my dude Dennis.
Thank you, Shante. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
So thanks for coming on. We're going to probably keep this one a little bit shorter for you guys listening, just because I actually am heading out after this to go all the way back to the States. It's 9:30 or 10 o'clock now in Dubai. My time's all off, and I have a 2 a.m. flight, and I'm pretty excited. We're doing an international podcast right now.
That's awesome.
So we were out in Dubai for the MeFit Pro Health and Fitness Conference, and Dennis happened to be there, and I was like, dude, I see the orange sticks. We got to do a podcast. You want to tell the folks what the heck is stick mobility?
Stick mobility is a system that we, myself, Neil Valera, and Mitch Taylor developed. We use the stick as a tool, and we combine principles of leverage and stability that the stick gives you. Therefore, we can use that stick to then use isometrics, Sherrington's law of irradiation, of recruiting as many neighboring muscle fibers as we can, in conjunction with the feedback principle, which is everything. And then wrap that up into the coordination and getting that brain to synchronize and get in touch with everything else in the body.
I saw you guys, you had a session this week, this weekend, and you are actually doing some VOR stuff, some eye drills with it. It seems like basically the possibilities for this thing are endless.
The compatibility of the system is what we market, and I think that's what we bring to the industry, is the medical industry can get benefit out of it, along with the S&C side. Mm-hmm. Myself, personally, the demographic of clientele that I work with tends to be 50 and over, so I like to throw in the VOR training because it is extremely crucial for them, but we do see that some 20-year-olders struggle with that, and they may not want to admit it, but I think that needs to be thrown into their training also.
Absolutely. For you guys listening, if you don't know VR, vestibular ocular reflex there, basically we're looking at training your eyes, training your balance, retraining the higher neurological processes there. It's going to be the next hot training thing. If you're not doing it now, definitely look into it. Go and Google it after this episode is done. So it was really cool to see Dennis put, you know, taking this group, it's probably like 30 people that he had in that class, taking them through these drills and sneaking it in too. I don't think necessarily people knew what they were doing, but he had them, you know, focusing on a certain fixed point while they're holding onto the stick and turning their head while keeping their eyes on that fixed point, and they're getting all these benefits. I love it without them knowing like what they're doing. So I thought that was really cool. You snuck that in there. How'd you come up with this system, you guys?
Well, when we first started using sticks to do stick stretching or stick yoga, as it's called, and we understood that there was a lot of strength and conditioning that was being missed out on. So we had learned from Dr. Arthur Fagenholtz, who is a chiropractor in Santa Cruz, California. So we said, hey, you got a whole different side that you haven't even broached. And he's like, that's not my thing. So we said, okay. And after we learned from him, we created stick mobility, added all of the strength and conditioning components that we knew as coaches, and we put it all together. The system itself, we go joint by joint mobilization. So for all the FRC fans out there, we are huge fans of making sure that prerequisites are there. Secondly, we bring in the strength and training component into it. We do a ton of partner training in that also. And then we do the stretching. So those are the three biggest components.
Now, the stick itself, it's flexible. I've used one, but for the people out there, they haven't seen one. And I will link everything in the show notes, guys. But the stick itself, can you talk to us about the creation of that and actually the properties of that?
So when we first started, we used rattan sticks. The rattan has a little bit more tactile feedback. But the problem is that the inconsistencies of the sticks as we ordered them. Then we went to the regular hardware store PVC that you can get. But we didn't feel it was strong enough. Mm-hmm. And so we had some friends who are in the aeronautics industry. They said, we can create something better. So we said, okay, well, we have 400 PSI on regular hardware store PVC. Make it stronger.
Uh-huh.
So they did.
Awesome.
So it tests up to 600 PSI. And then the grips that we put on it have little bumps on them, uh-huh, for tactile feedback. So that way you understand when the hand is on that grip, that where what it's doing,
yeah,
and your proprioceptive ability is increased.
Yeah.
So when people, we get the comments all the time, I'll just use a PVC. That's right. Fine. Great. We're here to show you how to get the most, mm-hmm, out of it, right? But then when they get the stick in the hand, yeah, they always say the same thing.
Absolutely.
This feels way different.
It's absolutely just, you know, the first thing you said about it not being kind of strong enough using PVC, it feels like it might snap for some of the things when you're really trying to use it for some irradiation or just kind of put some flex through it so you can generate some tension within your own body. I'm like, this looks a little bit scary to use a PVC. That was one of the first thing I noticed. Now, you guys, two questions actually. One, why the orange color? Or I guess I'd say, why not? It's amazing. But one, why the orange color? And two, the different lengths. How'd you come up with that?
So the orange color, to be honest with you, it was field testing. So when we created the logo, we went on to logo tournament, took all the artists that put their entries in, said, okay, this is the logo we want. And then I said, okay, give me some different color combinations. So once we got the color combinations, it was just field testing, showing it to people, saying, what pops?
Yeah.
What are you drawn to? And orange and black just popped.
It's a good
every
choice.
Time. Everybody kept pointing to that. So we said, okay, that's what we go with. For people that understand colors, orange is a therapeutic color. So that helps.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a major reason why people are drawn to that. So that's what we went with. We're in the Bay Area, so we kind of joke around that it's the San Francisco Giant colors, so we kind of joke around with that, especially since Mitch is a Dodger fan. It kind of we get him with that one. And then the lengths, we knew we had to have different lengths based off of what we wanted to do with the movement that we're teaching, whether it's joint articulations, floor-based work, which we need shorter sticks with, or if we're hanging, if we want to work on brachiation, we need a longer, mm-hmm, stick.
Okay. You guys should be listening and just chomping at the bit here and thinking about the possibilities. It's very interesting that you said it came from a clinical side with the chiro that you learned, mm-hmm, from, and you brought it into the SNC world. But we see that movement unites us all, and it's really applicable for anyone and everyone, which is one of the reasons I started this podcast, was I want both sides, all the sides, to come together and realize we're all doing the same thing, and we can learn so much from each other. Like, it's incredible here. So I wanted to tease something out there that you had said, and I guess a little lesson for you guys listening, some business lessons there. One, if you're not good at something, you don't know something, ask someone who's really good at it. Like, yeah, you couldn't really make the sticks yourself, and you had some people that could do it better. So ask. Two, maybe I should ask the question of you. Do you have a business background? Because you've created a great brand. You're doing product testing. That's a business lesson there. Do you have a business background?
No, not really. I just understand economics, supply and demand. I do research on the side. I never went to school for it, but you can get the books. You can start to learn on it. I got a book that just says how money works, how business works. Just simple stuff like that.
So good.
And it's just understanding. In when we started to go international, we had to bring some business partners on that did that, right? Yeah. So in the fitness community, I think the one thing that's lacking is the understanding of business. And I think for me personally, that's one thing when I first got in the industry, I wish somebody would have been there to mentor me in that aspect. And I'm not talking about getting leads or generating new business. I'm talking about, what do you do when you get that business? How do you understand taxes? Do you understand if it's right to incorporate or not incorporate? How do I budget? How do I run my business when we sell packages, right? In the strength and conditioning community, everybody sells packages. I don't understand why. From a sales standpoint, it's completely incorrect. You have a beginning and an end. If you understand sales, you don't want a beginning and an end. You want it to be continuous, a subscription. Uh-huh. That's why we've seen the subscription model take off, right? So I've been fortunate enough when I first got into the industry to be taken under and mentored by a gentleman that had been in the industry for a long time. And his business model was monthly calendars. So your client was buying a time slot. And then when the month was over, you went, okay, let's get your next month's calendar scheduled. And it just rolls.
Keeps going.
And before you know it, your client's like, wow, I've been with you for like 4 years. You're like, yeah. And there's not that awkward. There's not that awkwardness of, well, your 10 sessions are up. Let's talk about the next 10 sessions, right? Because there's that awkwardness, right? It's just a smooth transition.
Dude, sounds like you have another business opportunity to mentor some people. Do you do that now?
No, I actually have thought about it. I've thought about it.
Yes.
I should. I don't know where it would lie in the industry as far as something that I might do later on. But I have thought about it for years.
I mean, the need is there. Like, you're clearly super busy, but the need is there. We see it, and not just on, you know, the training side, which is, you know, I was going to segue into that. There's so much that we can learn from each other, clinical to non-clinical world, not just in terms of the movement and stuff like that, but in terms of the business side. And I think that actually, you know, my clinicians out there, we could learn a ton from the trainer side of things. That's one of the things I saw this week at the MeFit Pro is, you know, it was basically all trainers. And we're seeing a bunch of people that have created their own products, created their own brands, created their own paradigms, and are just crushing it. And there's something to be taken from that as clinicians, is to be able to do the same. And then I'm hearing you with business savvy that I know for a fact the clinical world could definitely use. I can't speak to the training world. It's not my, you know, my lane, if you will. But there's definitely a market for that, whether you're doing that digitally. I brought Danny Matei on a bunch of episodes ago, and that's what he has done for PT and just mentoring people and how to have any kind of business ideas, because none of us get it. Unless you go to business school, you don't get it.
I think it's because most people are programmed to become employees.
Yes.
And that's the problem. And for me is when I finally broke out on my own and I said, okay, when I first got in the industry, it was the 24-hour thing, you know, and within, honestly, within, nothing against 24-hour, but within the first 2 months, I'm like, this is not my bag. I'm taking my education. I was in the right place at the right time with the right opportunity to get in with a gentleman that had his own private studio and had the ability to be cultivated with kind of the mindset already. Both my parents were in finance, so I bookkeeping, business management, so I kind of had that peripheral there. But then with his help also of really locking that down, because he was a very big referral business guy, not selling ads. You shouldn't have to do that. Yeah. And that's what I loved about that. Your ability to coach should speak for itself, and that's your marketing. Even Charlie Weingraff says, if you want business, be the best trainer in a 200-mile radius, right? And for people, you business will be there. And it's very true. It's true. I've seen it. I worked with a trainer that had to put his face on the side of a bus. And I'm like, wow, how much did you pay for that? Like, just be a better trainer. Yeah.
Simple.
Just be a better trainer. Literally. You don't have to do that. So, and those are the things that I think both sides have to better understand. And when trainers start to leave the box gyms and go out on their own, that's what sinks them.
Yeah,
is their inability to maintain their business and manage their business. And so, and unfortunately, most of the business conferences I go to are all about generating leads.
Yeah.
But no one's to tell you what to do once you get those.
You're right. You have something here, so you have to go back home and fly home and think about it, because there's definitely something there. You were kind of talking about it, and I'd love for you to talk about it a little bit more. Your background. Your background as a trainer. Like, tell us.
Okay.
Let us love you.
I have always been just a kid on the go ever since I can remember. So I had parents that it was outside doing some stuff, never sitting in the house. I've played sports. Hockey is my thing. It's always been my thing. But I did gymnastics. I did baseball. I'm very short.
Yeah,
but
I was.
You know, I'm very short, but I did do basketball.
I'm sitting here thinking, like, Dennis was the shortest one on the ice.
Up get until eighth grade, I wasn't. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm 5'3". I'm vertically challenged, okay? But I've been 5'3" since I was eighth grade.
Oh, so you were like, boom. They're going to be like, huge.
So everybody else kept growing, and I was like, dude, what's up with this? This is crap. what is this, right? So, when I was in seventh, eighth grade, I was thinking NHL, right? And I was a goaltender. So I'm thinking I'm like, and that's about the age when scouts start coming out, when you're in that 13 to 14 year age range. And then when you stop growing as a goaltender, like the coaches are like, you're in 10th grade. You haven't grown at all. Not going to happen. So, and then I've always worked out. So I've always had that passion, and the diversity in sports that I've played. And that was always beneficial to me. So when I moved out to California, I grew up in Buffalo, New York. So when I moved out to California in 97, I was still working in the restaurant industry. And then I finally said, you know what? I just love being active. I love being the working out scene. And I said, I want to help people get better. So I was like, I'm just going to become that's when I said, you know, I'm going to enter the fitness world and be a trainer. And that's where it started. And I've been going on almost 19 years of that.
You still train people?
Yeah, I still train people. So I have the business going and I still have my own clients. I love my clients. I'm tied in with them. It's not just a client relationship. Like, I'm invested in how they're doing in their life. Mm-hmm. And there are times when they talk to me about stuff that I don't think they talk to other people about.
That's true.
So I think that's the bond that you develop when you're good and you have that ability to really to blend with people and connect with people. That's the stuff that happens. You know, it's kind of like that story. I had a client the other day who an older gentleman whose wife passed away several years ago, and he's got a new girlfriend, which I didn't know. But at the end of his session, he kind of smirks at me and he's like, I've had a sexual rebirth. And I was like, what? Is that right? You know, but that to have that connectivity for him, like, this is not a guy that I ever expected to ever hear anything of that sort. But he felt comfortable enough in how we connect to bring that up, and now it's kind of like
what it's all about.
Being high school buddies, like, hey, you know, how's it going? That type of thing. But to be able to have that type of impact on a guy in his late 70s, to be able to see this type of re-energizing in his life is what I love about it.
You're really connected. You're really in that person's life. Yeah. You use stick mobility concepts, principles, the sticks in general with your populations, your coaching?
Everybody. Whether it's when they first come in just to mobilize everything, whether it's in the middle of the workout, if they're not grasping something, we'll use the sticks to what we call prime. Our acronym is PIP. It's progressive isometric patterning. We can statically have them hold positions and isometrically contract, but then we'll have them create tension and then actually go through the actual movement itself.
Okay.
Then put the stick down. By that time, they should have the coordination all integrated in, and then we see a better movement of what we wanted in the first place.
Got it.
Yeah.
So for the people that are listening, because like I said, if you guys want, I want you to check it out on social media. It's just at Stick Mobility.
Yes, at Stick Mobility. Yep.
So definitely check it out on social media so you get a good visual as to kind of what we're talking about here. But if you guys also have courses.
Yes.
You have two-day long courses. What is that like?
Okay, so the two-day course, we give, when you sign up for the course, it's 16 hours. So it is NASM's, SCEC's, along with NCEP. We are a Group A provider for NSCA also. So you will get credits through them. We do those joint-by-joint mobilizations, so you will learn everything in-depthly. We have about an hour and a half lecture. Everything is mostly hands-on. This is something that we want that feedback. We want that kinesthetic feedback. So we want the stick in your hand. We want you to understand what it is. We can talk to people all day long, and that's sometimes the problem. We talk to them, and they're
I don't feel anything.
They're zoned out already. Mm-hmm. But to give the person that tool, to put them in a position, tell them to push, pull, bend, whatever it is we want, and for them to have that eye popping when we see that face, we go, now you got it. Now you understand. So that way, when I verbally have to cue you the next time, you'll know exactly what I'm asking for.
That's awesome. Yeah. And now when you leave the class, you're able to obviously use it with yourself, but are these people able to go and teach like a group class with that?
So we do teach, we do show an example of a 1 hour group class. So on the second day of the class, the very first thing we do in the morning is a group X style class. And that's what we want for coaches to understand that, hey, this is a new way to, because we see the group training model in the industry is such a huge benefit. Yeah. It builds that community, right? So we show that person, we show the coaches, this is how we would do it. 20 minutes of joint by joint, 20 minutes of strength training, and then 20 minutes of stretching, and that hour is done. Your group X leaves the building, they and feeling awesome, way better than they did when they came in.
Awesome.
So, and then the rest of it is also showing how you integrate it in into your one-on-one programming. We have some coaches that are now taking stick mobility and integrating it in with other modalities and marketing that. And we're all for that. We're like, that's fantastic, because that's the compatibility that we're selling.
If you guys check it out on social media, if you haven't seen it already, you'll see the sky is the limit in terms of how you can layer this thing and bring it in with any other movement paradigm. It's one of those things that you see and you're like, damn, why didn't I invent that? Because it's so simple and I say that in the best way possible. You're like, this just makes sense. It just makes sense. You add if you want to talk about science behind things, that you can, but from a common sense perspective, you add a third point of contact, another point of contact for someone that increases your stability. Stability rules the movement road. You feel more stable, you're able to get into better positions. Your nervous system says, all right, I'll give this to you. It just makes sense. You're not trying to force things or anything like that. So I want to kind of paint a better picture for those people that haven't seen it, haven't seen the stick or anything like that. If you're going through a group class, you're typically using one stick, or like one length stick, I should say.
It depends. A lot of our coaches buy bundles. Mm-hmm. So they'll buy typically a 3-stick bundle. It'll be two longer sticks, 6 or 7 foot, with a shorter stick of 5 or 4 foot. And they'll use either a single stick to do moves or a double stick to do maybe standing hip drills. Mm-hmm. So when we do a lot of our bulletproofing hips to make you more resilient, a lot of times we do it from a standing position because that's where
you need it,
right? So that's where we live, or we should be living, right? It's kind of funny. We joke about how we see so many people doing core work and you're on the ground. Yeah. But then
you got to be upright. So we start because we're safe, but then we got to get up.
That's where you got to be. So we do a ton of core work from a standing position. And it's kind of funny when we get coaches and clinicians and we have them standing on one leg and they're pushing two sticks into the floor, and we start at 30% tension, and we crank it up to 80% to see them start to shake, and they're going, oh my goodness. And we tell them to drive one leg up into hip flexion and hold it and breathe and to see how challenging it is. And when they get done, they're like, what was that? You're like, that's core work.
Yeah.
That's standing core work where you need it.
Hey guys, Maestro here, and I just wanted to let you know that my course, Moving with the Maestro, From Assessment to Independence, is live, is coming to a city near you, and because it's Cyber Monday, is on sale. Use the code Cyber Monday, all caps, no spaces, and save $50. Students, I got love for you too. Email a copy of your academic schedule to Lex at themovementmaestro.com, and she'll send you a special code. Students, you're going to end up paying $199. Everyone else, $349. That is a steal. Head on over to www.themovementmaestro.com/maestro-courses and sign up for a class today. And I legitimately mean today. This deal ends tonight, Monday, November 26th at midnight. I'll see you in 2019. And now, back to the show. So in terms of strengthening, because I think people listening, we're hearing you can use this for mobility, and you're not pushing the stick onto your body for mobility. It's you're using it for radiation, using it for stability so that you can get into these positions, hold, do isometrics. For strengthening, it's the same concept?
Yes. For us, mobility is strength. It's just neuromuscular control. It's owning all your stuff. Yeah. Can you breathe in a position? Can you create end range tension? Can you have the ability to recruit the tissue fibers and ask for force from the cells? And if you have that, it's great. We see it all the time. It's kind of funny. I always joke about we make things too complicated sometimes. Yes. And when you talked earlier about the simplicity, for us, that's the thing. We want to be able to take from clinicians and educators that sometimes talk above the heads of other people and say, okay, we're going to use the stick to translate what they've been talking about. Yes. So we always talk about it like when we're at the doctor's office and we're like, you know what? You leave the doctor's office, you're talking to your friend and you're like, oh my goodness, I wish the doctor would just speak English to me, right? So that's all we do with the stick. We just translate it. So that way when we say, okay, have you worked your lateral line? And the coach is like, what's your lateral line? We say, okay, let's do a lateral bow and arrow. We're going to push the hip the opposite direction of the stick, and we're going to open up that lateral line, right? So when we look at mobility work, so much of it is done passively.
Yes.
But yet our cat and our dog, when they get up from moving, they actively are creating tension when they get up and move. We do it every morning when we get up and yawn and stretch.
There we go.
We irradiate, right? Mm-hmm. We create tension. We get into a place. No human has ever yawned and stretched and said afterwards, that felt terrible. Nobody ever said that. It feels great. So we create that tension. We get into that range of motion that we wouldn't achieve. But yet when we go to do mobility work, it's always passive. So for us, we were like, no, you've got to create some muscle recruitment and start to own those positions. So for us, strength is always an aspect of everything. It's just at what percentages. Gotcha. Are we asking for 10% or are we going are we going to really start to strength train to really increase that range of motion?
This is, you guys out there, you should be loving this. The flex on the stick, can you quantify that or just explain to the people the benefit of that?
So the flex on the stick, we always tell people, like some people always, oh, I want to see how far I can flex the stick. That's not the intent. Mm-hmm. That was never the purpose. We have to have the flex on the stick to be able to allow you to create end range tension. And that's the purpose of it. So the anytime we're flexing the stick or you see it, it's only a result of the movement. It's never the intent okay. of the movement. And that's when we're teaching coaches, that's what we're stressing. We are a consumer product, so consumers do purchase mm-hmm. it. We do try to stress to them, look, understand the purpose of why you're buying this tool. So yeah. we do have videos on YouTube, so you can look at the stick mobility fundamentals videos on YouTube. Even if you're using PVC at your house or your gym, check us out on YouTube. Watch what we have to say. The fundamentals for us is the most basic things that every person can benefit from, no matter the skill level and no matter the age.
That's awesome. Do you have general public coming into your courses, or who's primarily attending?
So that's the beautiful thing about it. We have an amazing blend of people that have attended our courses. So we have extremely high-level physical therapists that have already been educated by us, S&C coaches, yogis, Pilates, mm-hmm. bar. We have one lady in Manhattan. She does rebounding work. That's mm-hmm. her thing. We have dancers. We've had a couple professional dancers that have actually taken our course. We've had patients
yeah.
whose doctors have said, you need to go take this just so you know what to do at home. So, and we feel we've made it accessible to anybody that just wants to understand how to move better.
Yeah.
That they can come in, we can make them feel comfortable enough and confident enough when they walk out the door after the 2 days that they're going to be like, you know what? I got at least 3 things that I can take with me that are going to make my movement so much better. And once they lock those 3 things down, then they can go, okay, now I'm going to start to broaden my horizons. Yeah. Right.
You're speaking the language that everyone wants to hear, and that underlying overarching theme, whatever, of empowering that patient and giving them something that they can do on their own. And everyone should be able to, you know, K-Star says it, be able to perform basic maintenance on themselves and have some sort of understanding. And we leave the clinician's office often so many times just with feeling worse, feeling broken, feeling fragile, mm-hmm. and not understanding what the hell has even been said. So in a time where we're seeing clinicians, we're seeing strength and conditioning coaches, we're seeing personal trainers combating that and being like, no, you are anti-fragile, you are robust. This is a great tool to make people feel that. You can say to someone all day, but until you help them make them feel something, people don't really buy and they don't understand it. So.
Exactly. And our thing too is, like you had hinted at earlier, we want the S&C community, the training community, to start to work together yeah. with the clinical side instead of butting heads all the time, and start to work together, because we're all on the same mission.
Exactly.
That's or it should be our
it should
mission,
be,
right?
right?
It should be. You know, we do have some people that are in it just for the money.
Yeah,
it's easy, right?
Mm-hmm,
But and every field has yeah. that. But we are in this for the most part to help people get better and improve their quality of life. Mm-hmm. And that's all relative. So I will coach that, you know what, that person that couldn't reach the top, the second shelf of their cupboards, but now they can, that's a life-changing yeah. thing for them. Someone else, it may be they didn't really know how to access certain tissues properly to help them take their deadlift to the next level,
yeah.
right? They didn't know how to engage the lats enough. They didn't know how to really activate the glutes. These are things that we can do with the stick to help them go from a 450-pound deadlift to a 550-pound yeah. deadlift. An overhead squat, right? If the mobility's not there, the alignment mm-hmm. and the stress lines are not optimal. So that is your body's wasting energy trying to figure
yeah.
out how to
get
combat
there.
That,
yeah.
get there, right? So if we can help get you in a better position and you own that position, then all of a sudden your overhead position becomes mm-hmm. stronger.
Yeah. How do you see this, or how have you seen this used clinically? Has anyone come back and been like, hey, this is what I'm doing with my clients or patients?
So we have one of our biggest fans is Dr. John Meyer. He has a private practice down in Los Angeles. And he also is at USC. So USC uses it for all their athletes. Mm-hmm. They use it for recovery work for their football team.
Awesome.
So they will do a one-hour recovery session.
Awesome.
At the depending on they can track the output of their players during mm-hmm. games. So the 30 players that see the greatest decrease in output, they come in the next day. Here's a one-hour recovery class. We're going to go through some moves. It's going to be about 20 to 30% tension. Just going to get you moving better yeah. and accelerate that recovery process. Yeah. He also does a ton of work with ACL tears, mm-hmm. Adductor tears. Mm-hmm. So he'll put people back in the straddle if you've torn your adductor. Mm-hmm. It's back in the straddle, light tension. Now let's add some rotation, T-spine yeah. rotation, while we're doing that straddle. So for him to talk with him and see how he's doing it and what he's applying into that that recovery, that physical therapy world is yeah. is incredible.
You guys out there, if you're still practicing, this is I'm not gonna lie, I don't practice a ton. I treat very sparingly. I'm not in the traditional clinical model anymore, but I think back to when I was and how I could directly apply this. You know, you hit the nail on the head. We're talking about this passive nature of treatment. I think there's a time and a place for it, but for the most part, we need to, if you want active results, you have to have an active intervention. The person has to be doing something. And this is a great way, instead of having your patient over there, I don't even know what the heck they're doing at the time, riding a bike, hopefully they're not just sitting on heat, but you're trying to get more mobility out of this person. This is a tool that fits so seamlessly into practice. And the coolest thing that I think is when you're in the room and you see someone else doing something, and suddenly that patient's like, well, what's that person doing? There's definitely a marketing aspect in a good way to this, where it's like, well, what's that person doing? This orange stick, and they look like they're doing this cool thing. They got some Mr. Miyagi kind of thing going on there. It's a very cool paradigm, a very eye-catching paradigm. And so from a clinical perspective, it's a great way to get people moving. I think that it's 100% appropriate for the clinic. I guess, you know, you guys have to take the course yourself and look into things. But in my mind, I'm seeing just business opportunities too, where, okay, I can use it on my patients, whether they are post-injury, post-op, mm-hmm. because you have gradations of tension, you have gradations of movement. But then it also lends itself to you having a class and having that subscription model within mm-hmm. your clinic, because it's like, all right, you guys like this? We run a class on Tuesdays and Thursdays with this. Like, this is, you're making big moves for people, Dennis.
Thank you.
Is like phenomenal. I got one last question, then I'll leave you alone. In terms of partner work, because I saw you kind of doing that at mm-hmm. the session, what does that look like? What's the concept behind that?
The partner work is just one of the things. It's the variability. It's understanding this is what life is going to give you. Certain things of offset principles.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's kind of goofy. The gym is the only place that yeah. we go to lift perfectly balanced things. And then we wonder why.
Prepare us for life.
Right. And then we wonder why that doesn't transfer out once we step out the doors. I've kind of always scratched my head for a long time on that one. So for us, the partner work is that. It's the variability, offset loading, dealing with push-pull, mm-hmm. anti-rotation, teaching people what the feet have to deal with shear force, where rotation is being generated from, how that weight transference from foot to foot actually is integrated, and how it affects all the way up the chain. But also at the same time, it adds such a fun aspect. Yes. And when we do the partner work, like you saw,
yeah.
people are laughing. Fun. They're having a great time. It's play. Yeah. And we have... So the general public has such a negative connotation of trainers. We are these evil people that just people are supposed to be afraid of. Mm-hmm. And no, like we need to bring, yes, I'm going to have you do some stuff that you don't want to do. I understand that. That's just what I have to, you're going to have yeah. to do it. But I also need to give you something that you're going to be like, that was awesome. I love it. I can't wait to do that next time. And to get people laughing, and whether it's an evasion game, whether it's a little bit of tug of war, whatever it is, once you get that community feel together, that locks it in.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps people going, and they're like, that was so much fun. I absolutely love it.
This is play. You know, I brought DJ on, and that was one of the, you guys out there, Strong Camps, right? I brought him on, and that was one of the things we talked about a ton. I just had Julie Angel on, and that's another thing we talked about, just play and making movement fun. And can we get back to, you know, people get so caught up in, can you squat like a toddler, instead of, like my guy John Campioni talks about, can you move like a toddler? Can you move with the fun and freedom and, you know, thoughtlessness, where I'm just going to go and do this, of a toddler, and play? It makes such a difference. You actually were in the car, we were just talking about that, your inclusion of task specific training,
right?
I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, I picked that up from several coaches, and it made sense. I was like, Neil and I have talked about it, where geez, we over cue the hell out of people. We confuse them.
Yeah.
The more you cue people, the more they get lost. They're like, they're trying to focus on so many things that they don't even remember what it was that in the first place you were trying to get them to do. So for me, it was okay. I want you to go from point A to point B and do this. And it was just one simple instruction. Your foot can't touch the ground, or this and that, right? Or you have to stay in this position to do this. Okay. Oh. And a lot of it was, too, to see what somebody's movement vocabulary was, right? Is it very limited? And most times it is. So something as simple as, I want you to take that 50-pound D-ball, and I want you to go from a seated position on the ground holding it. It can't touch the floor. And I want you to stand up with it to a full standing position 6 times, but you can't repeat any of the moves up or down. And you'd be amazed at how stuck people are after the first time. Yeah. And that, to me, goes, okay, your movement vocabulary needs to grow. We need to be able to quickly figure out all these different options. Your joints are wonderful things. They're meant to articulate. And statistically speaking, the number of combinations should make a Chinese restaurant jealous. I mean, let's be honest. That's what we're after, right? So how many combinations can you get? Let's work on it. Let's do it. And so it's kind of, it's
awesome.
And that's what, and we awesome. Talk about neuroplasticity, right?
Yeah.
But that's movement.
Yes.
So as these people are trying to solve this puzzle, it's an indirect way to start to train different aspects. Like you said, we sneak things in. I love sneaking things in, because if you attack it directly, you've lost them.
Yeah. You've lost them. They think, right? They can't do it. They have history with this. They shut down.
They think it's a waste of time sometimes, too. Yeah. They're like, I don't need this.
Yeah.
But if you sneak it in, and then you go, oh, you see how challenging that was? Yeah. Then they're like, oh, okay. All right.
I would love for you guys that are listening to this, maybe you have it on your phone and you're like walking somewhere, doing something, chilling out. Maybe at the gym, because I know some of you listen to this at the gym. I would love it if right now you tried, don't worry about the D-ball, just down to the ground and back up 6 different ways, no repeats. Just try that and see if you get stuck on the floor, or if you get stuck standing up and you're like, that says something. You know, that's one of the reasons we talk so much about repetitive stress injuries, and we kind of think about, oh, it's because you're hunched over using your phone. But if you're doing the same movement patterns over and over again, if you're living in the sagittal plane, that's a repetitive stress injury waiting to happen, or the beginnings of a repetitive stress injury. Joints and such get worn down. One, we don't move so well, but we do the same thing over and over and over. And we go to the gym, like you said, that's a great point. It's the only place where we go and we're like, I'm going to do a perfect movement and never leave this plane. That's not helping anyone out. And that's a repetitive stress over and over again. This bringing in this movement variability and improving your movement vocabulary, as you said, the things that can do for your overall, and that will do for your overall health, is tremendous. What's your movement background? And not sports-wise, but just in terms of how you train people, what are you taking all this from?
I started my curiosity, honestly, I was a meathead when I first got into the industry. So it was, how much do I bench? How much do I squat? That was my deadlift, those 3 things. But then after being hurt, injured myself significantly, I started to realize that there must be something a little bit different. So then I started looking at, okay, body weight movements. So animal flow, That was one of the first things I started looking into.
Yeah.
But before that was just understanding, okay, what are primal moves? What's a role? And then yes. learning from other educators like Dr. Perry and mm-hmm. Michelle Dalcourt, what's a rolling pattern? What's a crawl pattern? Those are things that we don't do, right? Yeah. And when you take a meathead and you put them in a four point position mm-hmm. and tell them to do a push-up, and they're shaking mm-hmm. like it's like crazy. They're like, how is this hard?
Yeah.
And so that was one of those moments where I just went, wow. And I started to understand the power. And I always, and as a kid, you don't understand what gymnastics does for mm-hmm. you and understand how to build your body and how resilient yeah. that can make you. And it's one of the biggest regrets when I look back on my life. I yes. wish I would have stuck with it.
I wish I would have done it.
I wish, right? But yes. To be honest with you, as a 9-year-old kid, your hockey buddies yeah, are like, you're taking gymnastics?
Exactly.
You're like, no. No way. So I literally, I stopped taking gymnastics yeah. because of my peers.
Yes, that's why I never started. I was right? like, no, I do not want to do that. No way.
But if I could go mm-hmm. back, I would exactly. tell my 9-year-old self, you mm-hmm. need to stick with
do
that.
It.
You need to understand how to do that, right? And you need to stick with it.
Yes.
But I, you know, so that was the in wrestling, I did some wrestling too. So I never did martial arts. My mom wouldn't let me. She let me play hockey.
I was like, let me
do. But she wouldn't let me do. That's illogical. That was the one thing I was like, that doesn't make sense, mom. So, but. Frozen vulcanized rubber at 80 right. miles an hour at my body, but no martial arts.
No martial arts.
Right? So, but those were the things. So I've always had that ability to, and that for me was also the variation in sports. So soccer, baseball, mm-hmm. and all these things, and not being too specific in one sport.
Yeah.
So not being locked in. And rock climbing was the other yeah. thing that Neil got me into.
It's awesome.
That made me wow.
Yes.
When the first time I got on a wall, I was like,
yeah.
what right? is this? And the first time Neil was like, take your right foot yeah, and move it over there. And mm-hmm. I cramped up
yep.
and I went, oh my God, what was that? Yep. Right? So that was the epiphany. And I went, okay, I got to be better at
yeah,
this. And so it's amazing to see how my movement on a wall is today than it was when I first started like 10 yeah. years ago. It's just so amazingly different. And it's kind of funny because with my travel schedule, I go like 3-4 months between climbs mm-hmm. sometimes. And it's kind of funny because my wife gets frustrated because she'll be like, you make me sick because you can go 3 months and then come back yeah. to the climbing gym and be like, bing, 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 bing. And I'm yeah. like, it's just movement.
Yeah. It's true.
Right?
But
now my brain understands, like I'm locked into it. So now I don't have to, it's just, okay,
I love it.
I'm back up there.
So good. You guys listen to this. These are all concepts that, you know, I'm talking about them because they're awesome, but all concepts that are delivered within this course because it's the foundation of these movement patterns. I want you guys to hear this. I want you guys to be exposed to this if you haven't already. I want you guys to take a course if you haven't already, because this is something that I think we can use to help ourselves. You just heard Dennis talking about that, to move better and to help our clients, our patients, whatever you guys want to call them. And it's such a simple thing. We're looking for, I think everyone's always looking for the next hot thing, looking for the next yeah. quick fix. And if it existed, it would have already been found.
True.
And it has been found. It's called movement.
Right? Yes.
So if we can simplify that and make it digestible for people, package it nicely, and that's what they've done here. You know, I'm always looking for courses and things to simplify things. And I love that you said, you know, Perry, and you're talking about original strength concepts. You're talking about animal flow mm-hmm. concepts and these foundational movement patterns, you know, DNS principles, if you will. That's what I love in terms of movement. That's what I think is missing from a lot of us, from so many people's movement practices. Like you said, you start off as a meathead, you're really strong, but then you go and you get on the ground and you're like, I can't do anything. I took the SFMA, I couldn't roll. And I was like, I'm a Division I athlete. What's going on here? Like, what's happening? But you expose these holes in our foundation and it's like, yeah, that's why we have these major injuries. That's why you can't squat down, even though everyone should be able to do that. So you introduce a system that can help give that back to people, and you take it a step farther because you get them upright. I think that's another big hole, is that I've been guilty of it too, where we get so caught up on the ground. The nervous system is safe on the ground. People are missing a lot there. Yes. So we let them live there, but then we're like, okay, now go run. And then they're like, my shit came back.
Right, because you trained them on the ground for the last year. And then when they went to go stand up, the body's like...
Gravity said hello, and it's like... and then you're dead.
The body's like, I didn't train for this gravity thing.
No, we were laying down.
You're right.
I'm great on the ground. I can't stand up. So you guys should be just pumped about the information that is delivered here. I'm going to link the YouTube videos. I'm going to link the Instagram account. I will link... Actually, when do you have the next courses coming up?
The next courses coming up are in 2019.
Yeah.
Will be in Dallas.
I love it.
So right by the airport. Donald Driver, former NFL wide receiver, has a facility. It'll be our first foray into the great state of Texas.
Oh, my. The sticks are bigger there.
Our hotbed is actually Manhattan. Yes. That's been so. We'll be in Manhattan three times. That's one of our main focal points. Manhattan, Jersey area. Chicago is looking like it's another hotbed for us. So we're trying to put it in places, number one, that people would like to go to.
Yeah.
So that way you're not going just for the education and the course, but hang out for a few days before or after and check out the city. If you've never been to Chicago, man, you got to go. New York City, same thing. Go experience it. But Big D, Dallas, if you've never been to Dallas, you got to check it out. It's a lot different than what you might think it is. And then we're based in San Jose, California. So if you want to come check out San Francisco, we're right down the road, about 40 miles south. So I host three courses a year, and I'm doing three workshops, intro workshops. So a little bit of a sample. It's a 3-hour intro workshop. I'm running three of those at my facility in San Jose, California. And San Diego is another one. We've been really welcomed in the San Diego area.
Awesome.
So we have three certs in San Diego set up this year.
Awesome.
And the international scene has been blowing. That's why we're up in Dubai. So it's been blowing up. We're going to lock down Norway and Sweden and Finland in the next month.
You guys listening, because I got people listening from all over, I will link in the bio where you just click on it. You can click on it, and it'll take you to all those places. I love that he snuck in there that concept of come early, stay late, go experience life. We were on some sand dunes, I don't know, that's like 2 or 3 hours ago. And that's exactly what Dennis was saying, that's one of his goals, is to be able to go to a place to teach. But when you're done, be able to go and experience that area. And this man is about experiencing life, connecting with people. That's why I wanted you guys to hear him. It's not just a product that's being pushed out there. It's a system that can help everyone. It's a system to help with connection. And the person behind it, or one of the people behind it, is all about connection. So definitely check it out. Dennis, you got any other words of wisdom you want to deliver the people before we go?
I would say for me personally, in my own personal journey, I think I would like to see more people start to understand the importance of being physically relevant and being resilient. And if you take those two concepts, I think that will alter the way your perspective is on how you're training and why you're training. And so when you're 30 years old now, to understand what I'm doing today, how's it going to affect me when I'm 60, 65 years of age, right? Yeah. So stay physically relevant. I think that should be your number one goal, and be the most resilient you that you can be. If life throws something at you, you need to be able to catch it and throw it right back at life.
Man, if they want to contact you for more words of wisdom, because that was fire. I was like, I'm ready to go do something right now besides sit on a plane for 10 hours. Right? If they want to contact you, how can they do that?
My personal Instagram is DiamondPhysiqueSJ. So you'll see my little me in my little hockey outfit on the ice. So you'll recognize me. My hashtag is #DiamondPhysiqueSJ, #ShortWideGuy. So that's
short wide guy. I love that you have a hashtag. My man knows about branding.
Yeah,
good
Thank you.
Good job.
And then stick mobility. And our hashtag is movement made better. That's our mission statement, movement made better.
So easiest way to contact you then is going to be on social media.
Just DM me, or you can email me at dennis@stickmobility.com. That's D-E-N-N-I-S.
Got it all. You guys, you know what I do. I will link every single one of those in the show notes. It makes it easier. But why don't you just do me a favor and go check out Stick Mobility right now? We all love Instagram. Are you on Facebook? Is that like a thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're on Facebook. Okay. Yeah, we're on Facebook.
Same name?
Same name. Okay. But Instagram is our number one platform.
Bless you.
It is.
This is so much better.
And we wouldn't be where we're at without it. So, man, I'll tell you, if you use social media for the right purposes and the right ways, it's a great tool.
Yes.
And it can get you out there. Yeah. So it's been fantastic for us.
We're in Dubai right now. Social media got me here.
Right. It's very true.
Hands down.
It's very true.
Hands down. Dennis, I got all your information. I will link it in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on. This was
Great. Thank you for having me. I'm very honored to be on here, and I'm looking forward to meeting you because
it happened finally.
It's the social media thing. We've known each other over social media for a lot of time, but it's finally nice to
you're real.
Meet you.
Like a person, just like a real human behind this. Like, it's all about connection. I love it. Dennis is also going to be starting a podcast. I'm putting him on the spot right now, so now he has to do it.
Yeah. Yes. Very true. Very true. Okay. And Shante is going to be my engineer. She's going to drive me to do this because I'm Asian, but I am the dumbest technologically idiotic Asian you'll come across. I can turn a computer on and off, and that's about it.
It's a good starting point.
It is a good starting point.
So Dennis is going to be starting a podcast. You guys, listen out for that. I will give you all of his information in the show notes. Just click it. You'll be able to go right to there. I think that's it for today, my friends. I know you could have been doing anything, and you chose to listen to me and Dennis rap. And we're both endlessly grateful for that, right? So, my usual ask, if you like it, rate it. If you love it, subscribe. It does help the people find this podcast. But at the end of the day, if you don't want to do that, that's cool too. I'm just grateful that you took the time to listen. Definitely go give those resources a little check and sign up for a course while you're at it. Until next time, friends, Dennis and Maestro, out.